First Corinthians chapter 12 and 1. We're looking at the practice of the Spirit. And the things of the Spirit ought to be taught, learned, and also practiced. The things of the Spirit ought to be taught, learned, and also practiced. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts," that's how the King James puts it, "brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Now, there's a bit of explanation we should make in there. When it says ignorant, the word there is to be deliberately ignorant. It's not just an absence of knowledge, but a deliberate unwillingness. Now, there's a subtle thinking that we must avoid there. Because if you observe, if they were in stark ignorance, then it naturally will start telling them who the Spirit is, what the Spirit is, and so on and so forth. That's not what he's talking about at all. Look at chapter 1 and verse 7. He acknowledges that with this church, that they came behind in no gift. They came behind in no gift, which is the word charisma. They came behind in no gift. So that, first of all, sorts the fact that they are not ignorant of the workings of the Spirit. They came behind in no charisma, the whole church. Then in chapter 2 and verse 4, he said, "My speech and my preaching," which is when he came amongst them, "was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power," which is the preaching of the gospel. So he puts it across to them that you receive the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Then in verse 9, where he says, "I haven't seen, he hasn't heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has planned for them that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Then in 12, he said, "We have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." He's talking to the church. He says that he calls everybody spiritual in verse 15. Spiritual man cannot be judged by any man. He judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Of course, the dilemma of chapter 3 suffices, but the truth is, and then he reminds them consistently, chapter 3 verse 16, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, for the Spirit of God dwells in you." Chapter 6 verse 19, "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost." So, they are not, the "know ye not" is not "you didn't know before now." No, it's like a reminder, a rhetoric in language. There's something called rhetoric. Shall we continue in saying that grace may abound? Romans 6:1, it's a rhetoric. Say, God forbid. Which actually in the Greek is no, no, no. How can we who are dead to sin live there any longer? So it's not a question, it's a rhetoric. "Know ye not that you are the temple of God? The Spirit of God lives in you, dwells in you." So that's a rhetoric. They know that the Spirit of God lives in them. So you say, by knowing this one, you ought to know that the Spirit of God, you are the temple of God. "Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost." Why did he use that phrase? Because he wants them to honor God in their bodies. So it's not an absolute ignorance. That's why he uses a rhetoric. Now, in the same instance, when he turns to this church, and he says, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts," which you have the word "gift" italicized, "I wouldn't have you ignorant." Remember, I said the word ignorance there deals with deliberate willingness or unwillingness to know. So the issue is ignorance of what? He had said earlier in chapter 1, verse 7, that they were behind in no gift. So, ignorance of what? It's not ignorance of the things of the Spirit. That couldn't be. All you need to do is to read through that chapter. And then, the chapter 13, then flip into chapter 14. And then you discover that the ignorance he's referring to was to edify. They're not in stark ignorance of what the gifts of the Spirit are. They do know. Because when you come together and everyone will speak with tongues, he said that in chapter 14 and verse 24 and 25. Which obviously means that that was going on in the church. So when you come together, so he wasn't saying something they had never heard of before. In fact, the truth is, if they had never heard of it before, then he had no right to say he taught them well. But what he's saying they're ignorant of is, or deliberately ignorant of, will be the practice of the things of the Spirit. What are they for? Now, of course, we've done this study before. If you look at the background of 1 Corinthians 12, he dealt with several kinds of strife or divisions in that church. In chapter 1, those who were divided, some are of Apollos, some of Paul, some of Peter, some say they're of Jesus. So to what were you baptized? Then in chapter 3, again, he says, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? So there was division in there. In chapter 4, he was talking about them judging the ministers. In chapter 5, there was a brother who had his father's wife. And then the church was ambivalent and almost intransigent about it. They didn't care. They didn't care about what was going on. In chapter 6, he took themselves to court. In chapter 7, he told them everyone should have his own wife. And then in chapter 8, he talked about food offered to idols. In chapter 9, about giving to ministers and so on and so forth. In chapter 10, again, he brings in the Exodus story, then talks about the table of devils and the table of the Lord, chapter 11. He highlights the issue of the covering of head and the submission of the woman. And then vitally in chapter 11, which is before chapter 12, and it's important to see that he talks about how they were not generous and there was division between the rich and the poor, the haves and haves not. So that will flow into chapter 12 and 14, because he highlights in 14 that there were also a division. He says that he had taught them the things of the Spirit. Then he says there's also who Paul calls the unlearned. In chapter 14, verse 16. The unlearned. So the unlearned will come in amongst them. The unbeliever will also come in amongst them. So he says you cannot be selfish with the things of the Spirit, knowing fully well it is to edify the church. Let me see if you understand that. Come on, let me see if you understand that. So that's a background of what he meant by I wouldn't have you ignorant. Of course, you can expand that word to believers must not be ignorant of the things of the Spirit generally. But if we look at it in actual context, he's talking to a church that wasn't in stark ignorance of the things of the Spirit. So he brings in some vital truth in the practice of the things of the Spirit. Oftentimes, because we are charismatic in orientation, because the gospel in his spread is charismatic in orientation, that is, he deals with gifts and giftings. You know, we downplay the fact that those things can actually be explained. I remember somebody made a statement and said, miracles do not respect Bible exegesis. I said, you are a very ignorant person. Because miracles are actually part of Bible explanations. In other words, there is no miracle in Scripture I cannot explain in Christ. I'm talking about myself. I didn't say we cannot explain. Lest I lie against you. There's not one. I can tell you why it happened. So, sometimes you make statements in assertion because you are what they call, you're talking around ignorant people. So, we can actually tell ourselves why do tongues come out unknown? I'm going to teach that. We're having in the Spirit by the Spirit later in the year. Amen. That will be series 4. Is it 4? Is that 4? Yeah. Just after camp meeting. Now, you can actually explain why do tongues come out unknown. It can be explained. There's a reason for it. So, there's nothing. You see, if God's humanity and God's divinity can be explained, then there's nothing God does that can be explained. So, put that aside. He says, I wouldn't have you ignorant. And we said the word there will be willful, unwillingness to do the word as touching the things of the Spirit. Willful unwillingness to do the word. That means your church teaches the things of the Spirit. Your pastor does. Your pastor flows in the things of the Spirit, like we charismatics say. Now when you use the word flow, know that it's a charismatic terminology. You won't find it in Scripture. Your pastor does. Your church, you even do yourself. Okay? And then he says that about this church. He says, I won't have you ignorant. That is, there's an unwillingness somewhere to do something. So, in other words, when it comes to the practice of the things of the Spirit, there must be a willingness. Now, that willingness can be in the past. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. That willingness cannot be in the past. Now, look at certain instructions he gave. Look at chapter 12, verse 31. Covet earnestly. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, let's take it again. This church, were they in stark ignorance of the things of the Spirit? Okay. Are they the things of the Spirit? Are they had it in demonstration? Okay. Even at the moment, were they having it in demonstration? Yes. So, then why would you tell people you just mentioned in chapter 1 verse 7 to covet earnestly? Which means there is an earnestness, there's a fervency that is required all the time for the things of the Spirit to be in demonstration. There is a fervency. And the word he uses there, zelo, is used for something that you are passionate about, also sometimes used for jealousy, and used for covetousness, is used for, one set of that language is to boil. Now look at that. That means that in the practice of the Spirit, my desire must not be ordinary. It mustn't be ordinary. It mustn't be ordinary. No, he mustn't be. So, let's look at that. What is the opposite of coveting earnestly. We can say converting half-heartedly. That is, you are just not that, maybe like Revelation 3, you are neither cold nor hot. You are not against the gifts of the Spirit. I am not actively for them. You see? So you can have that subtle, I'm grateful to God. And you can watch some of those things. For example, you know, before this series, we went into brass for gold. And I said, brass will look like gold. It looks like gold. It looks like what you're talking about. And, you know, there's a fellow like that. It was in the 90s. He was called a prophet. And so, we also just got into knowing the things of the Spirit very strongly. And so we attended his meetings then. And we used to have what you call believers' meetings. We call them the Holy Ghost meetings. So people naturally will prophesy, will have words of knowledge. In fact, there used to be, as it were, an underground competition on, you gave five, I gave six, you know, stuff like that. Then suddenly, I guess there was this boredom about coming around and doing the same thing and doing the same thing. And then they now introduced two things. It was very subtle. Initially, I didn't notice it because I attended their meetings three times. So that was probably the second or third. It was a friend of mine that said, what's all this for? Somebody will get up and read a poem unto the Lord. So we call on brother so and so to give us a poem for the Lord. And the poem was very beautiful. Jesus, the bright and morning star. He's the one that does this one. He's this one that has. He's the how. Oh, can I look into the stars? I can't find any. Okay. Wait. It was lovely. I mean, I love poetry. You know, I love poetry. I do like. But I was just wondering. That's good. Then my friend Bishop said, M.O.G. What's all this nonsense? He was the very straight person to shoot. In all instances. He said, what's this nonsense? I said, what? I didn't observe. Too quickly. He said, this is not prophecy now. I said, no, it's not prophecy. He said, they are substituting this for us. You know? And then, of course, gradually, they brought in some guys to be doing choreography. That one was one I noticed. We used to call it bodygraphy and something else I can't say on the pulpit. So, I just noticed that. Why did we bring this? So, in the place of Spirit-inspired utterances, we now had someone who just compose a poem and then give it to the folks. And the thing about such things is, you'll adjust to it. And oftentimes when you adjust to it, you lose the fervor. Then it's either you're humble enough to admit that you have erred and you've gone back to Egypt, or you start attacking those who maintain the spirit-filled life and say they're extremists. The reason why we call people extremists oftentimes is because we have not been faithful. We have not been faithful. Now, look at that 1 Corinthians 12:31. You know, it's a present tense continuous instruction. If you have said, every first day of the week, convert earnestly the best gifts. That's Sundays. Or, if it says, when there's a prayer meeting. No, he didn't say that. He gave a consistent instruction. That means, on your wardrobe, which is closer, or your walking wardrobe, whichever one you use, or your hanger. We have different things we use. Or your door. You put him there. There's an instruction from the Lord that I shall covet earnestly the best gifts. I should covet earnestly. So, my attitude to the gifts of the Spirit must be hot. Have you seen, have you watched a football game before? I watch football, and that's obvious, I think. And then you notice, have you ever noticed a player, a football player of your team that you think is no longer in the game? And then you almost feel like putting your hands in the screen and slapping his face. Get out of the place! You know, half-hearted. That is, he's there. He's in the meetings. He will, if you give him the ball, he will pass it to someone else. But he's not. I remember someone, I noticed, I know when you used to prophesy. You prophesy sometimes 2 minutes. Now your prophecy is battling around seconds. And your prophecy is just about, it doesn't have the spark. Now I'm not asking you to go and put spark. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't have that. It's half-hearted. It's half-hearted. So you're in the game, you're in the meeting, you're in the church. And the thing is, just like Paul's church in Corinth, you already are taught the utterance gift, revelation gift, the power gift, so you know it. You've seen it before, but your attitude is not fervent. So, let's get back to the opposite of fervency, half-heartedness. What will bring half-heartedness? The first thing is company. What did I say? Company. What did I say again? Company. That is, you must have been fellowshipping with believers who don't contend for the gifts of the Spirit. They don't. I'll share a story with you. You know, I'm many years ahead of that now. But I remember someone told me a story about certain people he fellowshiped with, and he said, "Sir, I don't know." After we discussed doctrine for a while, he said, "We discussed doctrine for a while. I just saw no reason." He said, "They didn't say it, but somehow I saw no reason for the miraculous if I'm sick. I saw no reason for trusting in the Lord if I have a lack. I saw no reason for trusting the Lord in direction." It seemed everything was just logical. The guy told me, that was years back. He said, "I just saw it." I smiled. I said, "I know what you're talking about because I fellowshiped around the same people and I almost got affected." I said, I'm not boasting, but look at me. I said, "You're a small fry." So sometimes you don't delve into things that are weightier than you. I said, there is nobody in the world that can outgrow his company. There's nobody. As long as there are people who influence you, you will outgrow them. So, what could make me half-hearted? You know, now, you could call that anything, but somehow, it brought a consciousness of the miraculous. You knew it wasn't permitted around your friends to be taking drugs like meditation. You knew it. So, that consciousness will make you say quickly, if you have a headache or a body pain, I'll be fine. Power God is walking in my body. MOG, glory my God! MOG! Yes, sir. I need the water. You know, now, you see, it's the water, it's okay. MOG, get up! There was a fellow that fell sick, and we got him from the bed and took him to pray all night. How much pray? If you die there, you are in heaven. You know. But you see, like I said, it's extreme. Because you shouldn't do that to people. You should care for the sick. Visit those who are sick. No, I'm not joking. But the point was, there was that consciousness. The consciousness of the miraculous. Amongst your friends, you almost be ashamed to say, I have headache. Say, Emoji, why are you frowning? No big deal. Emoji, confess. just some pain. Pain? Where pain? I remember the first time I met Pastor Olawale. It was a very funny incident. I met her in the room of a friend. She came to see our pastor, who's my friend, Pastor Yomi Ojo. She was secretary of their fellowship then in the campus. So I saw her. Why are you? We said, Pastor Yomi. I said, yeah. So she said, you're sneezing? She said, yes. So you have a cold? She said, yes. Says your own. She said, no. I said, what do you mean? She said, I'm sneezing, but you don't have a cold. I have a cold. So it's your possession. I mean, she said later, I said, what's this? She said, you wonder who is this guy stressing my soul? I said, what's the word? I mean, that just was the atmosphere. That was the atmosphere. There was a time like that, I had a serious bout of fever, and my friend had to come and see me. I said, they should not come. because they used to call me Archbishop. F-O-G. They just say, hypocrite. 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 You are a Pharisee. But the point is, there was a fervency it had. There's a fervency company does. I love to have friends. If there's a problem, they say, let's just tarry in prayer. It will be done. Then, who do we call? I don't need a believer to tell me who do we call. A Muslim can easily say that. So there is a company that inspires fervency. You can't be friends with a believer who is not fervent about ministry and you will be. You won't be. If you are with a believer who doesn't walk in love, you won't walk in love. After a while, you won't walk in love. If you are with a believer who is given to sexual immorality, okay, and has no care in this world about it, you will do the same thing. So, always know that there is a fervency that company brings. So the first thing, when I see I'm lacking that expected fervency, I already have the knowledge of the word, right? But then, I'm not just making that practice. I check my company. Who do I speak with every day? Who speaks to me every day? So you can say that as much as yes, there were extremes when we were younger, but the truth is, it helped in the fervency. It helped to contend, because it shows that the supernatural is something you contend for. Covet earnestly. You contend for it. You go for it. So now, let's expand company. Company also goes to meetings. Meetings. If you're a pastor, there must be certain meetings in the year. I mentioned that on Sunday, I think on Wednesday as well. There must be certain meetings in the year that promote this fervency. For example, you know, an MOG. The MOG is just very fervent, very diligent, diligent usher, diligent this one, and all that. Then we now get to believers' meetings. He doesn't even have a tongue to be interpreted. His tongue is also always to himself and to God. Say, Emoji, what's going on? No. The man isn't fervent in the right way. Because there is a fervency that your company produces. People you listen to, people you talk with. There's a fervency. And you always, a person like Brother Oaks, for example, he's been my friend for, I mean, Brother Toby is probably the longest standing ministry friend I have. A friend in the ministry that I've had. I've known him, this is the 26th year. You know. And we get to talk around those things. We get to talk around the things of the Spirit. We ask questions. I ask more of the questions. Most of the questions. We get to, and there is a fervency it does. There's something it produces. Just by that continual communication. You know, because it's the, I remember, you know, getting to know him. When I met him, and then I went to see a friend of mine. I said, I want to meet that brother. He said, you want to see him? He just told me what he will do. He said, stay in front of Tether Hall. He said, 12:30, he will pass by praying in tongues. I said, okay, he does it on Wednesdays. He said, no, any day. I said, woo, I've heard about this fellow. CJ has told me a lot about him. So I said, okay, let me stay. That's how I stood. And I looked at my wristwatch, 12:30. I just said, oh, blah, 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 blah. I said, ah. I said, maybe that day. The second day, the same time. You know, a fervency around those things. So when you keep someone like around you, you know that he will stir you up. I mean, if you are traveling, I've traveled with him before. When he gets to his time, he does what you call a devotion. He follows, he does morning, afternoon, evening. He does 1 hour, 1 hour, 30 minutes, and all that. You will be together like this. And then he will just start praying. And you look at him and say, you started, I mean. Consistently. And he has been like that since I've known him. So, someone like that, around you, who talks the supernatural? Who talks the things of the Spirit? I don't just talk it. He walks in it. Alright? Will help the 1 Corinthians 12:31. Yet, another fellow who has heard it, I rather have somebody who knows nothing about the things of the Spirit. Nothing. And says around me, that someone who has heard it, and despises it. Nothing. Doesn't know anything. So, company, and of course, the kind of church. See, some people have told me that after getting born again, the most important decision you make in life is who you marry. It's not true. It's not true. After salvation, the next important decision is the church you attend. You know, by saying the church you attend, that already has answered who you marry. So don't anyway. See, the way people glorify marriage is so ridiculous. You read your Bible and say, which Bible do they read? See, if you want to teach romance, teach romance. If you want to teach news and book, teach romance. If you want to teach Bible, teach Bible. Do you understand? So, hear this. That is very important. The church, a man, that is the people he fellowships with. Now, even within the church, you know you can have bad company in a good church. Maybe the pastor says, let's just give him to prayer. I use my brain. You know, you will say it innocently. Not too long, you will not be using your brain till your brain has a disease. You think your brain is that reliable? You think your brain is that reliable? No, it's the Holy Ghost that is most reliable. That's the most reliable. So, when he says, covet earnestly, just like in this service now, what kind of attitude do you have? What kind of attitude do you have to the things of the Spirit? Hallelujah. Stand up. You are talking in tongues. Give us a tongue and interpretation.
Le proto vocês que jogaram dia bem brondo vocês que jogaram brondo e que as ouviram dia bem brondo o chá haste em brondo pela gara pela doce brondo pela gara pela gara pela dize brando se provo vocês que jogaram brondo dia deis que vão de brondo vocês que jogaram gara pela doce em brondo sobre dia deis vestir dera doce que brondo vocês que jogaram gara pela doce. But the things of the Spirit are always at work in you. Bendito vocês que jogaram brondo dia deis gera da brondo vocês que jogaram gara pela doce. You do you do well to stir them up at every single time. You know, it's not a time or a season, but it's always at work in you. You do well to much more maintain your fervency, because the things of the Spirit are always and always and always at work in you, always burning on your inside. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see that? There is no... If you follow the 1 Corinthians 12:31 instruction, you don't need keyboard. You don't even need to be told, this there's going to be a Holy Ghost meeting. Because that instruction is continual. Amen. Now you. You got it. Yeah. Do the word. And sing it out.
The veil is taken away, and men will begin to see Jesus, limitation breaking away, for His light is shining and shining out. The veil is taken away, and men will begin to see Jesus, limitations breaking away, for His light is shining and shining now. Saturday, London, also Fernandia, those men will walk in the light of His word and receive the training of the Spirit, and will flow in the things of the Spirit, and will say that Jesus is Lord. The veil is taken away, and men will begin to see Jesus, limitations breaking away, for His light is shining and shining out. No posania na dosa fania na dosa po Nadia na dosa ya na dosa te ya ke na dosa. I am committed. There's no distraction. There's no distraction. There's no distraction. Lay na dosa na na dosa. So paradia na dosa time. His light is shining and shining out, oh. There's no distraction, there's no distraction. No sitabarate, seven and a no separate, seven and a no separate.
Amen. Hallelujah. See, so the fervency is not in some seasons. You know, at home, you can do that. You know you can. You know you can. I'm saying, there's a challenge. And you're not picking the phone. You just give tongues and tablets. You don't know what to say in the natural. You know? But you remember, be fervent. And you can just get out in tongues. And get out in tongues. And couples can do that. Won't take a decision. Just tell your wife, your cousin, your husband, and say, you know what? Let's just follow our spirit on this matter. You know, sometimes it can be, where should the child school? Which one of the two? Let's pray a bit about it. And we'll know. You know, we can be that supernatural. I'm not saying you should not do, you know, when you now have to make a choice between two things that logically, they are, you know, you are, this has a pro, has a con. I said, well, let's just search in our spirit. We'll know. You know, that's good company. Hallelujah. You know, that's good company. You know, that's good company. Uh-huh. In a church like that, so that's good company. That's good company. I mean, in church leadership, I tell them, let's just keep praying. We'll find out. We'll find out. We'll know. We'll know. Not that we'll sit down and bring in one business manager to give us, do the PowerPoint. What's the SWOT analysis of the church projection? Abba! SWOT analysis. In the body. No, let's just, you know, we have no other tool but the supernatural. Let's just pray about it the more. When we pray about it the more, we'll consciously walk in it. Hallelujah. So there is a fervency. A fervency. And you see, It also goes to, you know, one of the things I mentioned last week, and I'm probably going to talk about it again, is not getting that familiar. See, we've been around this thing for a few days. I can tell you it's a great problem. Not getting familiar. Where you say, well, a minister once said, I've seen the best of the best. I say, yeah. So I've seen it. I've seen all the joy and rejoice. So I've been to Kenneth Hagin meetings. I've been this one. I've been that one. I've been this one. I said, okay. You've seen the best of the best. Okay, show us the worst of the least. Let's even see something. Nothing. You are just giving an excuse for your backsliding state. Because the things of the Spirit are not in the past tense. Fervency. How can you be in a relationship with someone that doesn't see things in the Spirit? Doesn't hear things? That's too natural. That's too natural. It's too ordinary. I'm not talking about just marital, no. Friendship. That when you tell someone who is close to you that, just find out what God is saying. He knows what you are saying. That when you tell a friend, say, find out what God is saying. He doesn't say, there's this prophet that my mother told. My great-grandmother used to go to his house. No. He knows what you mean. He just wait on the Holy Ghost. Pray a bit more. He knows it might require a few exercises. Like, you know, sometimes you may have to do some fasting. You understand? The person knows what you're talking about. If you don't hang around such people well, you will lose your fervency. You see, when it comes to things of the Spirit, you have to be on the edge. Let me tell you what an edge is. I learned this years ago. The edge is, you know, when you're like this. You know, like this. That is, you are good to go. You must always be on the edge. Always on the edge. Always on the edge. Somebody calls you, and then suddenly you are slow in response, in ministering by the Holy Ghost. You are not on the edge. You know, I learned that years back. That it should be like, let me do it again. You are like, you know, you want to take off. So all the time, you are like this. You are like this. You know, like you are on the edge. You just don't want to trigger it all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's the attitude. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. He said, follow charity, which is love. Then he says what? Desire? Huh? Desire spirituals, especially what that you muscle that you prophesy. No, look at that. Follow love, that is to walk in love, but desire. I mean, it uses the same words. Desire, pursue it. That is, there should be that open-heartedness for the gifts of the Spirit to flow through you. And of course, in technical sense, is referring to the utterance gifts. See, if nothing should stop flowing in your ministry, of course, none should stop flowing, is the utterance gifts. If there's anyone, you shouldn't even give a room for being slack about, they are the utterance gifts. If you observe it very well, you observe it that even without being taught, it seems like the first things you got to know to do were the utterance gifts. Who knows that? Without being taught anything. Now, that should remain your mainstay. It should remain your mainstay. You remember the time you will literally tell yourself today, I'm going to talk in tongues for 20 hours. You know, probably you haven't done that in a while. No, you should. You have lost many battles because you ignored this. You have gotten into quite a number of mess because you ignored what I just said now. See, They are not in your past. That practice is in the now. Is in the now. Is in the now. You enter a service and you are always talking in tongues. Don't stop it. Don't stop it. Don't stop it. Don't stop it. See here. You know, we said the year 2019 is a year for more and the much more. More tongues. Someone say more tongues. Say more tongues. More. Just more. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. More tongues. And you will see the clarity it brings to your perception generally. More tongues. You, don't forget, you must be on the edge. Like somebody that is like this. You're on the edge. Like something wants to happen. Something wants to happen. Look at verse 12 and 13 again. He says, look, you should, as 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13, zealous, verse 39, again, why is this, I mean, he is repeating himself. If you didn't see the first one, you shouldn't miss the second one, you shouldn't miss the third one, and the one he closes with, he said, look, forbid not to speak with tongues, covet to prophesy. Now, of course, technically that's in the services. But you know what? Both in the service and outside the service, I need to be edified. I need to be on the edge. And who says I can't have the service elsewhere? Who says I can't have other believers gather with me and I'm a blessing to them? So, you should be on the very edge. I mean, you always know a wrong doctrine. And I've said this to you, it's a litmus test. I roll it all the time. Number one, any doctrine that doesn't promote evangelism, forget about it. Don't even bother about it. When you see a teaching that suddenly reduces people's thrust to win souls, is a wrong doctrine. It's a wrong doctrine. It's a wrong doctrine. Right from Genesis to Revelation, the thrust of the scriptures is salvation. When you see a doctrine, and you know you know things by their fruit. Wait, there's something wrong about this thing. Something wrong about what this guy is saying. You know? Number two, when you see a doctrine that plays down on walking in love and honor for the body of Christ, precisely the local church, it can't be a good doctrine. Why? Because the love walk is God's demonstration of his character and humanity. The love walk is the Christian life. Honor for the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is God's ecclesia. Lastly, when you see a doctrine that doesn't make all of a sudden your pursuit for the supernatural just reduces. You are no longer particular about being led by the Spirit, the inward witness. You don't care whether there's a vision or there's no vision. You really don't bother about casting out demons again. It doesn't really matter. Oftentimes when that happens, you won't pray more. Because what are you praying about? The essence of prayer is supernatural. That is a wrong doctrine. Like somebody will always say, one of my favorite journalists, Gideon Tutoju, he said, it's from the pit of hell. He says that is so often. I'm going to ask him one day now. Have you been there before? It's from the pit of hell. You know. But the truth of the matter is that you have to watch it. Now let's say that any relationship you also have or friendship that doesn't spoil you to soul winning, doesn't make you walk in love, honor the church and its ministers, and doesn't promote the supernatural, forget about it. You don't need to be told that it's a wrong relationship. I'm talking whether it's marital, non-marital, anyone. I've had people have told, we can't be friends. And they said, why? I said, because of what you believe. There are some things that we can overlook. You know, if somebody, for example, doesn't believe in the way I teach New Testament worship, they still clap, they jump, they do all those things. It's not for me. It's fundamental, but it's not fundamental. If somebody says, well, that he believes that salvation is eternal, But a man can lose it if he does so and so, and it goes to an extent. And when the things he says, I say they're even impossible. I say, don't worry. Be on your own. I'm not. But you see, for me, those things are not, somebody believes, well, the fivefold ministry, fourfold, these are not issues. Right? Some people fight over, he doesn't believe the security. So I need a security man to guard him. Don't need all of that. See, I've been teaching salvation as eternal. This year is going to be the 25th year. Okay? So it's not post-TBN. Do you understand? When some of us taught it, we organize a meeting and only us and those who pasted the posters will be there. That is, we went to paste posters for people to come for a meeting and we are the only ones that came. So what was the poster for? We are doing something. When people will literally just say, that guy, somebody said, I saw him in hell. I've been seen in hell not once, not twice. Maybe it's not a lie. But now, for me to say what I just said, and I've said it for years, it does. But you see, if you now say, soul winning, it's not like that, gross. That's fundamental. If you say, you don't believe in the love walk. You believe people can die. I keep a distance from you. Or you don't walk in love. You walk in unforgiveness. You are the kind of person that you can hold somebody in your heart from Exodus 12 to the day of Pentecost. Till the last day, I will salute you. Satan is wrongly tagged. You should actually be in union with him vitally. Now, if you also talk down on the supernatural, the power of God, there are fundamental things. Salvation through faith in Christ, yes. I mean, I won't at best fellowship somebody who believes in works for salvation. Don't get me wrong. But you see, these things are fundamental. So look at someone or an association or things you read that just makes you see. I love health journals. I read them often. But I warn people. See, if you have not chopped word well on divine healing, and chopped word. You know when I say chop word? It's not study, chop it. You have chopped it inside. You have chopped word well. You know how to react when there is a negative circumstance. And you are now studying disease. You are knowing if there is, you now have an automed or internet medical doctor. Just a pain on your leg, they give you 18 probabilities. 18. And now you say, see, chop word well first. So that when you read those things, you say, well, it's not my body. Hallelujah. It's not my body. Power of God is working in my body. You know, it's important that you stay on the edge. Stay on the edge of divine healing. Stay on the edge of the power of God. That you are not sick, but you see, you are waiting that if there's a pain, God's power will respond. Stay on the very edge. On the very edge. That's what he meant by desire. Keep desiring. Don't stop desiring. Stay on the edge. See, if Paul could write someone like Timothy and say, neglect not the gifts. That is Timothy. You know, you and I, we read Paul. And we're like, Paul. Paul said, this one, he knows what I teach. You know, he told him, he said, you know my life. You know my doctrine. You know my purpose. You know my intent. Then he writes to the same person. Neglect not the gifts. You and I must be careful, extra double. If he tells the same guy, that's 1 Timothy 4:14. In 2 Timothy 1:6, he says, stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts. Then he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. Which means that, oftentimes, in the midst of opposition to the gospel, wait for this. And you know, it looks like, just opposition. Opposition to the gospel sometimes comes for your desire. It does. Sometimes when people call me and say, Pastor, they are persecuting me and all that. And they call me. And I tell them that you are missing a very vital part of this. You say, what is it? Don't call anybody. Rejoice at it. Stay full of the Spirit. You are missing it. You think it's a matter of, no. It's actually to deepen your conviction. You are missing a vital part. Don't, just, you are not saying you don't share things with people, no. But share from the point of, glory to God, I have the victory. I'm stirred up in the Spirit. You know, in that light. In that light. In that order. So, if he can say that to Timothy, how much more you and I? Let me ask you. How many minutes does it take you to be ready to flow with the Holy Ghost? How many seconds? We had this competition then. I'm interested. I'm sharing all those funny things we were doing. We said, how long does it take you to get someone filled with the Holy Ghost? Now, the person who was the highest, I wasn't even second, I was my third or fourth. The highest was 5 seconds. And we'll count it. One, and that day, we're eating a bar in like Amuson's house. So he said, just said, do you talk in tongues? The guy said, no. Then he said, do you want to? The guy said, well, go ahead. He said, you will. And we counted 5 seconds and teach a guy that got that guy. The guy ever dropped out of the door. My own was, I think, 38 seconds or something. But talks was, I think, 10 seconds. We timed it though. Praise God. So it's not, what's happening? What's happening? Say after me. No. You know, those things are good. They keep you on the edge. On the edge. I mean, the guy just, he was in there, but the ever just came on the table. I said, emoji. Bing conk, bing conk, bing conk. That's how we say, bing conk, bing conk, bing conk. Conk man, bing conk man. You know, but you know, those things are good. They're good. They're good. Because they keep you on the edge. They keep you, how many minutes do you need the Holy Ghost meeting? You need the keyboard. They have to say, oh Lord, you are here. Then you remember. Lord, your glory. They say, hey, it's true, it's true. I'm a man in Christ, supernatural. It's true. It shows that something is wrong. You ought to have been singing that I'm a man in Christ before the service. When you are driving, you should be singing it. You know, when you are on the road, supernatural man. But when it's Kelewu, you are singing on the road. Or everybody else. It's true. You can't sing everybody else. The next thing is word of knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't sing, I don't even know which one again. But you understand what I'm saying? There's this, be on the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge. One day, I read Brother Higgin. Yeah, he said that the Lord told him that when they give a revelation, the gifts of revelation, when they seem to win, they should take some time, pray and fast. From that day, I told myself that I will be fasting a lot. Jesus! So, if I say that, this thing is not, you know, and I'm ministering to people, whether on the pulpit or off the pulpit, I say, it's not as keen. You don't need to tell me. Fasting, yeah? Oh, yeah! You are lazy. It's just normal. It's just normal. Even when I'm studying the word, I discovered that my meditation is not as sharp as it used to be. I'll fast. That means this. I'm giving heed to the flesh somewhere. It's just be on the edge. Be on the very edge. They call you to share God's word in your office. And then you first say, I thank you for the privilege. I thank you for the honor. For 5 minutes. Are you an MC? Bro, move the word. Hallelujah. They give you 15 minutes to preach. You say, I wish I had more time. No, stay there for eternal life. Use eternal life there. In eternity. 15 minutes. It's a privilege. 15 minutes. How many minutes on the cross did Jesus have? How many? How many did Paul have before Paul and before Agrippa? You use that opportunity well when you're on the edge. See, when you're on the edge, 5 minutes is enough. When you're on the edge, 10 minutes is enough. It's enough. It's enough. When was the last time you gave prophecy and we could almost write 3 pages of what you said? 3 pages. And the content was rich. had instructions, admonitions, had you know, revelation inside. Quite a number of things, and even had a miracle received. You know, that's how we weigh ourselves. We don't weigh ourselves by what we drive. We don't weigh ourselves by, you know, by, I was saying on Sunday, some people were about a church is 100,000 seater. They say 100,000 seater. God does not live in a, he doesn't live in a house. Does he live in your own tent? That is jealousy. If somebody has 100,000 members, he will not build, he will not use canopy now. Or use it. You know, some things are just unnecessary. People are not arguing, particularly there was one particular online personality. The guy just rants at everything. He rants at everything. Anything somebody does, you just have a comment. Say, After a while, when a dog begins to bark so much, you know, even when thieves come, you will not know. Because it's always barking. Barks at flies, mosquito. So choose what you talk about. Do you understand? And they said, look, there's nothing, you see, if your church is 100,000, you build 100,000 seater. You say, for the sake of the gospel, I'll build five man seater. Is it family house? Jonas, that's not the issue. The issue we should be asking is, who and who, you know, make up the 100,000? Because you can have a congregation of 100,000 and they are full of the word. And you can have a congregation of 10 people and they are full of heresy. They are all heretics. One by one, in different grades. So that's not the issue. The real issue is the Holy Ghost giving a free course. Is the word of God taught? Are believers strong in the Lord? That's the point. You know, leave petty issues alone and let's get on the real deal. Hallelujah. Let's stay on the edge. Let me say something as we close. Do you know something? If you think back a bit, if all you do, they always say that hindsight is better than foresight. If you think back a bit, you will know the things that get you on the edge. You will know. Oftentimes, we leave the basics. You see, what makes you walk in the supernatural are the same things that made you walk in it years back. They are not different. They are not different. Not different. Stay on the edge. Some of us are tired doing ministry like we don't even need the power of God. That's ridiculous. That's awful. Power of God forever. The things of the Spirit forever. Tongue and intervention forever. Prophecy forever. Word of knowledge forever. Word of wisdom forever. The sign of spirits forever. Workings of miracles forever. Gift of healing forever. The gift of faith forever. The spirit of sin and knowing forever. Glory to God. Laying on our hands forever. Raising the dead forever. Opening blind eyes forever. Glory to God. Pray in tongues a bit. Just a bit. You know you're on the edge of it.